Sean Clegg was an active 14-year-old boy who lived in Tabernacle, New Jersey. He liked Harry Potter and sports. He played on a baseball team. He was known as a boy who was kind and giving to his friends. One Sunday afternoon, 10 years ago, Sean was riding his bicycle near his home when he was struck by a car. He died from the injuries. Sean's parents were understandably devastated at the tragedy, but they also wondered how something positive might come out of this heartbreaking loss. They wondered if their son could become an organ donor. Since he had been strong and healthy, the answer was yes. The Cleggs donated their son's body. His organs and tissues benefited over 100 people around the world. Some of these people would have died without Sean's donation. That was 10 years ago. And today, the Clegg family maintains an extraordinary relationship with a number of those recipients. They consider them to be extended family. Today is Easter, the day that we celebrate Christ's resurrection. We have arrived at this place through the events of Holy Week. On Thursday, Jesus ate the Passover meal with his disciples, and after the meal, while praying in the garden, Judas led the authorities to arrest him. Jesus was taken into Jerusalem and tried and sentenced to death. The next day, Friday, after being beaten and flogged, Jesus was executed by crucifixion. On Friday afternoon, because the Sabbath was approaching at sunset, his body was hurriedly placed into a borrowed tomb. And then on Sunday, very early, even before sunrise, Mary Magdalene and possibly some other women went to the tomb in order to begin the preparations for a proper burial. When they arrived, they discovered that someone had tampered with the tomb. The rock, which served as a door, had been pushed back and the tomb was open. The women feared the worst, that the authorities, in order to prevent Jesus from becoming a public martyr, had stolen the body. Looking into the tomb, the women could see that indeed the body was missing. Each of the Gospels reports that one or two men are present to meet the women at the tomb. In Mark's account, these men, whom we recognize to be angels, say to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there's the place they laid him, but go tell his disciples and Peter that he's going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Finally, Jesus then appears to his disciples, and he stays with them until the time of his ascension. Now remember, Jesus had been crucified. He had died. He had been buried, and you would expect that when he made that Easter appearance to his followers, he would then proclaim to them the words, "I am the resurrection and the life." I mean, after all, he had overcome death itself. He was the embodiment of resurrection. But in fact, he has already made this statement much earlier in his ministry. Through this season of Lent, I've been preaching this series on Jesus' I am statements. These I am statements appear solely in John's gospel, and John uses these statements to help us better understand who Jesus is. John wants to make sure that we understand that Jesus is more than just a talented rabbi, more than an engaging speaker, more than an imaginative teacher. He is divine. He is the Son of God. In John's gospel, when Jesus says, "I am the light of the world," he is the light which illumines God for those of us who are living in darkness. When Jesus says, "I am the gate," he is the doorway to forgiveness and grace. When Jesus says, "I am the bread of life," he is the divine nourishment which feeds our hungry spirits. When Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd," he is the one who gives his life for the sheep. When Jesus says, "I am the way and the truth and the life," he is the path to our salvation. Our reading today is the conclusion of this "I am" series. And here Jesus declares, "I am the resurrection and the life." And he says this not about his own resurrection, as we would expect, but about in regard to the raising of Lazarus. Lazarus and his sisters, Martha and Mary, are close friends of Jesus. They live in the village of Bethany, a few miles outside of Jerusalem. Lazarus becomes ill, and his sisters send word to Jesus to come see him. Jesus receives the message, but he does not leave for Bethany for 2 days. And during this delay, Lazarus dies. When Jesus finally gets to Bethany, Lazarus has been dead and in a tomb for 4 days. Martha goes out to meet Jesus on the road as he approaches her village. And what she says to him surprises us. In her words, we clearly hear her anger and her grief and that raw emotion. Martha says, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Martha knows that Jesus is one who heals. Yes, he could have saved Lazarus from death, but Martha tempers her words by adding, "But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." And in that is her hope that he may still be able to do something. And Jesus responds to her with the assurance, "Your brother will rise again." Then Martha says something that clues us into her level of theological sophistication. She says, "Yes, I know he will rise in the resurrection on the last day." Martha comprehends the ultimate promise of resurrection. "Yes, I get it. In the end, we'll all be with God." Then Jesus says to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" he asked her. And Martha responds saying, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." And even though she says these words, you can tell that she doesn't quite grasp the weight of the question. And Martha does what, well, we frequently do. She gives the rote answer. She gives the safe answer. It's like, well, if someone asks us, "Are you a Christian? What do you believe?" And we recite the Apostles' Creed to them. There's nothing wrong with that, but it lacks fire. And although Martha expresses her belief in Jesus and in the resurrection, she still continues to weep. And this grief is so powerful that it even infects Jesus. And weeping himself, he asked to be taken to the tomb. And this tomb where Lazarus has been put, it's a cave with a stone that's been cut to cover the door. Jesus gives the instruction, "Take away the stone." And Martha, being rather pragmatic, points out that having been dead for 4 days, there's bound to be a stench. The King James Version puts it so succinctly when it reads, "Lord, by this time he stinketh." Jesus says to Martha, Didn't I tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? And the stone is removed, and Jesus cries in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! And Lazarus emerges from that tomb, still wrapped in strips of cloth, and Jesus says, unbind him. Let him go. This story is clear that not only is Jesus the resurrection and the life, this life is intrinsically tied to belief. There is a difference between an intellectual belief and the kind of belief that you feel in your gut, the kind of belief that defines who you are. Those who believe with their minds, they make good Christians. They do the right thing. They say the right thing. But those gut believers, they are driven by an unmistakable passion for God. They believe not in the idea of Christ, but in the person of Christ. The resurrection isn't just for the last day. It is for us now. The resurrection is not just in the future, but it is indeed all around us. So, was it necessary for Jesus to raise Lazarus that day? No. Lazarus had died. He had died fair and square as part of the natural order. But Jesus chose to renew his life as a demonstration of the greater resurrection. As a demonstration so that people would see and believe his words, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Stefanio Di Maio was 27 years old when Sean Clegg was killed while riding his bike. She received Sean's heart. The operation was a success, and she has gone on to give birth to twin girls as well as a boy. Her doctors believe that she's the first woman to give birth to twins after a heart transplant. And Stefani and the Cleggs have developed an amazingly close relationship. She calls the Cleggs mom and dad, and the kids are treated like grandchildren. They frequently visit on weekends. Gail Clegg calls Stefania the daughter that she never had. Melissa Coleman was on dialysis for 10 hours each day before she received Sean's right kidney. Craig Lawton received a lung. They too are part of this extended family. For a donor's family to develop a relationship with the donor's recipients is quite unusual. But the Cleggs are different. Family get-togethers frequently include the Di Maios and other recipients. As Stefanio Di Maio put it, I have a connection with them because we were all in the same boat. We were all dying. One person brought us all together. That one person saved all our lives. And that one person was 14-year-old Sean. And from his tragic death emerged new life and resurrection. Dozens live today because he died. Children who would not have been born have been brought into this world. Sean's mother says, these recipients always tell me that I saved their lives. I say, it saved my life too. Sean is gone, but definitely not forgotten. All these people are living because of him, she says. This story about Sean is a testament to the power of resurrection and how life gives life. Today is Easter, and we gather here not just to give thanks for the new life which comes from Christ, but to marvel at the miraculous power of resurrection. We can look at the story of Sean Clegg as a tragic story with a happy ending, but as people of faith, we can see this story as evidence of resurrection. Like the Lazarus story, it's a demonstration of God's power in the world. And when we look at the world, with eyes of faith, we can see new life everywhere. And we can see in stories like Sean's and in our own stories, new life, new chance, new hope, new resurrection. When we believe as Christ asks us to believe, we will recognize resurrection everywhere. It is powerful. It is beautiful. It is God. Amen.